Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. Welcome to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. Today's class should be a Zichus continued Refuah Shleima for Yeshaya ben Chaya Shprinza, who is recovering, I hope, from COVID and pneumonia. How's he doing? Baruch Hashem. Okay, it should be a Zichus for his continued Refuah Shleima. So, welcome everybody back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. So last time we had a piece that actually explored the connection between Shabbos and Tefillah, because Rav Shimshon Pinkas was talking about Shabbos and Tefillah. So we are on the bottom of page 32, okay? Bottom of page 32. And author writes, Rav Shimshon Pinkas writes, the key to recognize with whom we are speaking, because last time he spoke about tefillah. So the key to recognize with whom we are speaking is Shabbos. Shabbos is the time when the cover of darkness is removed. And when the cover of darkness is removed, everything becomes clear, including the fact that we are speaking to Hashem. And that's funny because he writes, the key is to recognize with whom we are speaking. So my husband told me that, did our hostess leave? Is she here? Did she just change her name? I think she's here. You're here. Okay, fine. Okay. So my husband told me that just last night, Rabbi Willig, in his shiur, was talking about Kavanah b'Tefillah. And Rabbi Akiva Willig was saying that a person has to recognize that they're standing before Hashem. And that's one of the reasons why it's usher to walk within Dalet Amos of somebody who's davening the Shemon Esrei. Not because you don't want to disturb them. Let's say their eyes are closed. Let's say you have great concentration. Why can a person walk before someone who is in the middle of a midah? It's because the Shechina is right there. And that's why we have to recognize, and that's what you have to realize. So that's what Shimshon Pinkas writes. A key is to recognize with whom we are speaking. Shabbos is the time when the cover of darkness is removed, and this becomes clear. It doesn't mean Shabbos is the time to request our needs. So that's very important. Just because he tied this into tefillah doesn't mean that Shabbos is a time for bakasha. We know in the Shemana Esrei there are no bakashas on Shabbos. It's Shavach and Hoda'ah. But it means that Shabbos is the time to increase awareness of Hashem, just like tefillah increases our awareness of Hashem. Hopefully tefillah increases our awareness of Hashem. This is the time to build our relationship with Hashem. And you could see why there would be a struggle with both, because Shabbos is something that comes every single week, and tefillah is something that we do every single day. So they both run the risk of mitzvos anashim melumda, keeping Shabbos chas v'shalom by road, davening chas v'shalom by road. It's a challenge, and that's what we are trying to hopefully build awareness of in this class, that not only should tefillah not be al tas tefillas chakva al racham misach. Don't make your tefillah by rote. So too Shabbos preparation and Shabbos observance and the love of Shabbos and the appreciation for Shabbos should not be by rote. Shabbos is the time when the cover of darkness is removed. And more we feel like this world is in a time of darkness, and we have to appreciate such a tremendous gift that Shabbos brings us, that the cover of darkness is lifted. And just like it's Dal lifnei mi ata omeid, know before whom you are standing when it comes to tefillah. So the reality is when Shabbos comes, Dal lifnei mi ata omeid, know who has come to your home. So I'm going to quote from the biography of Malchan Armit. I made a bracha before we started shir for those who just logged on. Interesting, it's Cheshvan. And the Yurtzeit of the Haran of Kedoshim is coming up in Cheshvan at the end of the month. So this is a biography of Rav Moshe Twersky, Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yinkom Damo, Gaon Olam, who was murdered in the Haran of massacre along with the other Kedoshim. So interesting, chapter 7 in the biography is called Shabbos, a Higher Realm. Okay? Friday night, Erev Pesach, a time saturated with Kedusha. The Twersky family was eating the Shabbos meal, enjoying their company, the special atmosphere, when Rav Twersky abruptly arose and went to the recliner in the hallway. He did not look well. But by the time the meal was over, his condition had clearly worsened. The medics who came to check on Rav Twersky were concerned he might be suffering from appendicitis. They told him he had to be taken to the hospital. The thought of having to ride in an ambulance on Shabbos was a horrifying prospect to Rav Twersky. Recognizing his reluctance, they had no choice. They were completely upfront with him. With an unmistakable tone of voice, they said, Rabbi, the situation is pikuach nefesh. With no other choice, he got up to go. The intensity of the pain notwithstanding, he retained the presence of mind to remove his glasses, as he was always careful not to wear glasses outside on Shabbos for reasons having to do with the prohibition of caring. When he finally reached the exit and he saw the ambulance waiting, the harsh reality set in. He was going to get into the ambulance on Shabbos. At that moment, he burst into violent sobs. He put his head down on the railing and he wept. He was a man who was always in total control of his emotions. But at that moment, when he saw that Shabbos was about to be desecrated for him, the dam burst forth. Never before did any of his closest family members see him cry like that, ever. He pulled himself together to do what he had to do. This story was related by his Rebbetzin and by two of his children. Once at the hospital, they determined it was not ruptured appendicitis, but kidney stone attack, etc. Okay. But he cried not from the sheer pain, but from the pain of having to get into an ambulance and being driven on Shabbos. Now, of course, we all know that Pikuach Dav Feshes Docha Kol. And yes, he got into the ambulance. And yes, nobody should not do so, Chalila V'chas, if medical necessity necessitates that we do so. But for us, an Armadriga, I don't know that we would be crying because Shabbos is being desecrated for us in such a situation, but this is a person who was an Armadriga. I remember that my son told us a few years ago, one of his Rebbeim went to visit another boy on Shabbos. I didn't remember this when I was preparing it, only now. And by accident, one of the Talmidim wasn't feeling well or something. The Rebbe turned on the light on Shabbos. So after Shabbos, he came over to the boy with a check for, what's the gematria of Shabbos if someone has time to do it? I'm not telling the story about it because I didn't think of when I was preparing. Okay, this is just a Rebbe here. I don't remember even which Rebbe it was exactly, so I don't want to say. But he went to visit a Talmud who wasn't feeling well. And by accident, the Rebbe either turned on and off the lights, I think on the lights for Shabbos, and he went to the family after with a check. And they said, why are you bring this? He said, this is the gematria of Shabbos. Perhaps now I will remember to be more careful. So there's a heightened awareness, Dalef Nehemiah Talmud, that Shabbos is before us. The Ribbono Shel Olam is right here. Did someone post for me? That's correct. Thank you very much. That's exactly what it was. The check was for the amount of $702. And he said that now I won't forget that it is Shabbos. Every Friday afternoon, Rav Tursky would be completely ready for Shabbos a while before candlelighting time, which is 40 minutes in Yerushalayim before sunset. He would sit in the study and learn, anticipating the arrival of Shabbos. He was also involved with Shabbos preparations. He would check on things to ensure everything was proceeding smoothly. And it came time for candles. He donned his frock coat in honor of Shabbos. Shabbos was a weekly event he eagerly looked forward to as he prepared to welcome the honored guest of Shabbos. For many, many Talmidim, an indispensable part of the connection they had with Rav Tversky was being a guest at the Friday night Shabbos Seuda. When Rav Tversky became a Magid Shir and a Rebbe, this Friday night took on a whole new meaning. But Rebbetzin Tversky related that their Shabbos table was the same, whether there were 15 Bachrim at the table, or if it was just her and her husband. Rav Tversky would relate Divrei Torah, Zmiro, Sei Kiddush, just the same. The only difference was the joy in having his Talmidim, but he wasn't preparing for Shabbos for the Talmidim. He wasn't singing Zmiros for Talmidim. It was for the aura of Shabbos. And Rav Shimshon Pinkas, and he was a true Gaon Olam, a Mamish Tzadik Yisod Olam, who was taken out Kiddush Hashem. Shabbos is the time to build our awareness of Hashem. And it's just a vignette that relates, not that we shouldn't get into the ambulance. Of course we should if it necessitates Chas V'Shalom. But the awareness of the desecration of Shabbos was too much for him to bear. And Shabbos is the time to increase our awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam and time to build our relationship with God. The next section on page 33 is called the Beis HaMikdash of our times is Shabbos. So today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, Rachmana Litzlan, and we have Shabbos instead. In the olden times, says Rav Pinkas, there was a place to find the Shem. A place to find the Shem three times a year. Every Jew, every male was Olo L'Rego. That was a Beis HaMikdash. A menorah burned there continually. The loaves of bread on the Shulchan were always fresh. We know they were changed on Shabbos. The Kohanim would eat the previous week's loaves, but they were always fresh. As if when they came out of the oven. Furthermore, Hashem's presence was in the Beis HaMikdash. So you had the menorah, which was always lit. Continually, the Ner Tamin, continual lamp, the loaves of bread, and Hashem's presence. And this reminded me very much, and I prepared it on my screen for you. Can you see my screen? Okay, so it reminded me very much, what Rav Pinkas is now going to teach is that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash Shlas Mishkan anymore. What we have is our own homes with Shabbos. Our homes and Shabbos preparation and Shabbos observance provides us with that sanctuary, Mishkan, Shechinah. Or the Mishkan, the Shechinah, comes to dwell in our homes. So we're coming soon to the parasha of Parshas Chayisara. And in Parshas Chayisara, we have the first shidduch in the Torah. We have the first Jewish burial. We have the first Jewish acquisition of land in Eretz Yisrael, not in the chronological order of the parasha. And we have the first shidduch. And of course, the first shidduch is between Yitzchak and Rivka. So I'm skipping all the way to the end of Perek of Dalet. The last pasuk of Perek of Dalet in Parshas Chayisara tells us. Okay, so Rivka comes home. Camels, Eliezer went to get her. Okay. Vayivi'aha Yitzchak ho'ahala Sarah imo. Yitzchak brought her into the tent of Sarah's mother. Vayikach, I remember we spoke about this a few weeks ago because someone said something about love and I commented and pointed out the order and the Torah view of love. Vayivi'aha Yitzchak ho'ahala Sarah imo. Yitzchak brought her to the tent of Sarah's mother. Vayikach as Rivka, and he took Rivka. Vatihilo the Isha. She was to him a wife. Vayi'aha veha, he loved her. Someone just pointed out to me, reminded me a couple of days ago in a different share that the root of ahav, ahav, hey base, is to give. True love comes from giving. Yitzchak was comforted after his mother Sarah. She was out of terrace and she was buried in Perek of Dilma, and this is Perek of Dalet. So Rashi tells us, if you look here on this side of the screen, ho'ahala Sarah imo. So when I read this from Pinkas, this is what immediately came to mind. He brought her, Yitzchak brought her, Rivka, to the tent. Venase duk matzarima, she was like the example of, the image of the, I don't want to use the word reincarnation, that's not what I mean, but she embodied the spirit of Sarah, his mother, Klomer, meaning to say, the harehi sarimo, behold, she was Sarah's mother. Because look, ve'eve Yitzchak ho'ala, Sarah imo, she becomes like Sarah's mother. What does that mean? She calls Mansha Sarah Kayamas the entire time that Sarah was alive, that she was living. There were three brachos on her tent. Kayaner Daluk me Erev Shabbos le Erev Shabbos. The Shabbos candle lasted the whole week. The candle was lit from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. U bracha mitzuya biisa, for there was a blessing that was found in her dough. Her bread rised exponentially. It was always fresh. La anan kashur al ha'oha. On the cloud of the Shechina was tied, if you will, it was hovering over the tent of Sarah. So these three elements Rav Shimshon Pinkas discusses here in regard to the Mishkan Mikdash, which we no longer have, which the Jew can recreate in his own home through the Kedusha of Shabbos. We see that this is the Koach of the Imahos. And as Jewish women today, we are all trying to build our Mikdash Ma'at, our personal Mikdash Ma'at, and Shabbos affords us the opportunity to carry on the legacy of Sarah, Rivka, of course Rachel, and Leah. And we see that through these Tzidkanios, through our righteous matriarchs, Imahos, who founded, who sacrificed, who built Knesset Yisrael with pain. We see their emotions, their infertility, their cries, their longing, their tefillah, and they were able to bring the Shechina into their homes. They were able to create that mikdash, where the Shechina, Shachin, Mishkan, dwelled. And how do we know? Because, by the way, Rash quoting Majus Bereishis Rabbah, because Sarah had a near Dalek Merev Shabbos Erev Shabbos, this corresponds to the menorah, the light of the Shechina and Torah that was brought to the world in the Mishkan slash Mikdash. Her bread was always fresh, just like the lachem hapanim, the bread of surfaces that rested on the shulchan. And finally, anan kasher alo ohal, the end of Sefer Shmos. Actually, if you want to see the final psukim in Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos begins with Geulas Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, and Mishkan. Oh, how does the entire Sefer Shmos end? Perek Mem. Ki anan Hashem al Mishkan, Yomam, Be'esh Tia Lailabo, Kleine Kol Beis Yisrael B'chamaser. The end of the Geula, Shmos' appellation is Sefer HaGeula, tells us that there was an anan kosher al Mishkan. And we all have the opportunity to recreate this environment of Kedusha and Tahara, of the Shechina, in the footsteps of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. When the daughter is blessed on Friday night, she is blessed to be in the spirit of the foremothers. And we don't have a Beis Hamikdash, so we can't be Olah L'Regel. But we can bring ourselves to our Mikdash Ma'at if we create that sanctuary in our homes. So the Anan Kasher all represents the Shechina, the divine presence that was always there. Bracha Metzua Be'isa corresponds to the Lechem Apanim that were always fresh. And of course, the candles of Shabbos, Ner Dalek Me'er of Shabbos, Er of Shabbos, corresponds to the Ner Tamid and the Tamid of the Menorah. Okay? Something powerful to keep in mind when we prepare for Shabbos. Let's continue in the book. So we said a menorah burned continually. The loaves of bread on the Shulchan were always fresh, as when they came out of the oven. And Hashem's presence was in the Beis HaMikdash. If you would go into a house, says Rav Shimshon Pinchas, and find the rooms empty and dark, you would understand no one lives there. But if you would see the light is on, if you would see fresh bread on the table, you would know that someone is living there. You wouldn't think no one lives there. You would see that this is in a lived-in home. In temple times, a Jew would just walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and this is lived-in. And who lives there? Kaviyachal, who is mitzamtzem from infinity. Contracts from infinity to dwell between the two kruvim who lives in this home, Kaviyacha, the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you would just walk into the Beis HaMikdash and you would feel Hashem's presence and you would love him. Excuse me. That person would know that Hashem is our Father in heaven and he would know that he's involved. God is involved in our lives and he loves us and he cares about what happens to us. That person understood Hashem is Elohim Chayim, a living God, not an abstract concept. Because the Beis HaMikdash was the source of this visceral awareness that here is the Shechina. You couldn't miss it. It was such a palpable feeling. I can't describe it because I was never there. And sadly, we don't even appreciate enough what we're missing. I'm talking about myself, since we never had it. You know, you can't describe to someone, let's say someone who's blind, Chas V'Sham. You can't describe what red looks like. You can't describe what a rainbow looks like. You can't describe what Niagara Falls looks like. You could explain, they could feel the water of the falls, the mist. You can't explain what it looks like. As much as you try to explain it and describe it, it doesn't do justice. So we could learn about the Beis HaMikdash, and we could learn about the brachos there, and the kelim, and the shechina, but we don't truly feel a lack, because unfortunately we never experienced it. So we don't know what we're missing. But if we make Shabbos into that Mikdash Ma'at, and we feel the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our lives, and it becomes so real, and we have a taste of what we're missing, and then we could really dive in for the ultimate Yeshua. Because we really wanted to come back. You know, it's funny, I wasn't planning to say this in this class at all, but I was preparing for Shir from this book that I quoted from last time, The Shabbos Companion by Rabbi Dr. Tversky. So I just came across this vignette. I folded the page. I wasn't even going to say it in today's class. But since I brought up, we don't even know what we're missing, because Rav Pinchas is just talking about the brachos of the Mishkan / Mikdash, which we know have no longer have today. So Rabbi Dr. Tversky tells over, it's humorous, but it's sad. Okay. Rav Nachum of Chernobyl once lodged at an inn. At midnight, he got up and he recited the prayers of the Lamentations, Tikkun Chatzos, for the loss of Jerusalem and the Holy Temple. The proprietor, hearing his wailing, went to see what was wrong. And Rabbi Nachum explained, we mourn for the loss of the Holy Temple and our homelands. I wasn't planning to say it, but it does relate to the topic of where we're up to in the Sefer. We mourn the loss of the Holy Land. We mourn the loss of the Temple. We pray for Mashiach to redeem us and return us to Eretz Yisrael, said Rabbi Nachum of Chernobyl. The inn proprietor was puzzled. Well, I have to leave everything I have here, he said. Of what significance is that, said Rav Nachum. Think of it. We'll be back in our homeland. We will bask in the glory of the divine presence. The proprietor did not appear to be impressed. Rav Nachum said, we will be free of the pogroms. We'll be free of the terror of the Tartar attacks. T-A-R-T-A-R, the Tartar attacks. I don't know, said the proprietor. I have to discuss this with my wife. The proprietor went home and he tried to convey to his wife everything Rav Nachum of Chernobyl said about the redemption of the Messiah. Said the wife, how can we leave the cows, the goats, and the chickens? Will we be able to take them along? Her husband said, if we follow Mashiach to the land of Israel, we will be free of the attacks by the Tartars. Don't worry about the cows, the goats, and the chickens. The wife pondered and then she said, go tell the rabbi when Mashiach comes, he should take the Tartars to the land of Israel. We'll stay here with the animals. We don't even, it's humorous, but very sad. We can't even appreciate what we're missing. How could you tell a blind person a rainbow? I know you're not supposed to gaze at it. I know it's not a good sign. We just had precious noch, but I'm saying, how could you explain what it looks like? Because I don't know what they're missing. They've never had the experience. So we've never had the experience of basking in the glory of the Shekhinah, but we can tap into it. Imagine the power of Shabbos. When you walked into the Beis HaMikdash in the olden days, a Jew knew Hashem is your Father in heaven, and you knew He was involved in your lives, and you know He loves you and He cares about you. You understood in such a real fashion that Hashem is Elokim Chayim, not an abstract concept. The source of this awareness was the Beis HaMikdash. Today, quote, the only Beis HaMikdash we have is Shabbos Kodesh. Page 33 in the Sefer. Rav Shimshon Pinchas Nefesh Shimshon Shabbos Kodesh. Quote, today, the only sanctuary, the Beis HaMikdash was a sanctuary. It was a refuge. It was an escape from the world. That's where you were with the Shekhinah in the most real sense. That is Shabbos. The only Beis HaMikdash that we could relate to. We might not be able to relate to the menorah and the Mishkan, Mikdash. We might not be able to relate to the Lachem Apanim. And we might not be able to relate to the Anan Kasher Al HaOhel. I showed you Sarah's tent, Rivka's tent, and the whole Sefer Shmos closes by telling you that there was an Anan of Hashem Yomam over the Mishkan. But if we appreciate, prepare, treat, and observe Shabbos properly, then you're in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's something we can all strive to build for ourselves, our homes, our lives. There's no other sanctuary but Hashem. And if we can't go to Hashem, He comes to us. Meaning if we can't go to be Olah L'Rega, then He gives us the gift of Shabbos when He comes to us. I'm going to quote from the Sefer, the Rosh, the Rash Yosef. Okay? It's Discourses of Rav Soloveitchik, compiled by Rabbi Avishai David. I just quoted by Rav Moshe Tversky. Rav Moshe Tversky was the eldest grandson of Rav Soloveitchik. Lecha Tzadik Livracha. So the Rosh, the Rash Yosef. So first Rav Soloveitchik points out the four places in Torah, four, where Shabbos and Mikdash are, the laws of Shabbos and the laws of Mikdash are put together. Okay? For example, Parshas Bahar. Es Shabsosai Tishmeru, U'mikdashi Tirau, Ani Hashem. That is a pasuk from Vayikra 26:2. Chaf Vav Beis. Es Shabsosai Tishmeru, U'mikdashi Tirau, Ani Hashem. So you see the juxtaposition of Shabbos with the Mikdash. There are four different places in Chumash where this occurs. What is the fundamental nature of these intertwined concepts? Why does the Torah link Mikdash with Shabbos, which is exactly what Pinchas is speaking about in our Sefer, the link, the intertwined concepts of Shabbos to Mikdash? So Soloveitchik answers, the answer is fundamental. Both Shabbos and the Mishkan, slash Mikdash, constitute sanctuaries. Shabbos is a sanctuary in time. Mikdash is a sanctuary in space. Shabbos is a sanctuary in time. Mikdash is a sanctuary in space. It was a locale. It was a geographic location. It was a place. Shabbos is not a place. It's not a locale. It's a sanctuary that comes in time every 7 days. No matter where you are, it's going to be Shabbos. Ilan Rahman, Zichron Avraham, made Kiddush from space. He made a Kiddush Hashem. He took a Sefer Torah. He took a Sefer Torah that had survived the Holocaust. It's an amazing story. If you don't know about it, they have children's books on it. It's amazing. He made Kiddush. There was actually a piece on him in Mishpacha recently. He was interested. A year or so before his Patira, he had become more and more interested in Judaism. So Shabbos, you could be in space. But when the time for Shabbos comes, it's Shabbos. I don't know how it works. I've never been. God wants Jews to establish a residence for Him, both in space and in time. Hashem wants a residence. He wants to live amongst us. In the Mikdash, sanctuary in space, on Shabbos, in time. The Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos and is about to light his Shabbos candles finds himself in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago. Who is prepared to enter the Beis HaMikdash. That's exactly what Shimshon Pinchas has just said. So Soloveitchik says, A Jew who has prepared properly for Shabbos, I put up my children early this morning, your table is set, my husband set the table last night, your home has a certain aura on Shabbos, certain lights are left on Shabbos, certain foods are served on Shabbos, you prepare properly for Shabbos, and you're about to light those candles, you are in the same position as the Jew of 2,000 years ago, who was ready to enter the sanctuary in space, the Beis HaMikdash, through Tzimtzum, contraction, God, so to speak, contracted into finitude and chose to dwell amongst human beings. First in the Mishkan, I could say first in the tent of Sarah, then in the tent of Rivka, then in the Mishkan, and later in the Beis HaMikdash. On the one hand, infinity separates human beings from God, but on the other hand, God is imminent and close to his people. And this, says our Salvechik, is the idea of Shabbos. Lechadodi, God pays us a visit. The festivals and Shabbos are different. Why? On Shabbos, God visits us. On the Chagim, on the Shalosh Regalim, on the festivals, we visit God. There's no Indian every Shabbos on the Beis HaMikdash to be Olah L'Regel. Because on Shabbos, you have a guest in your home. Hashem is coming. So for Rav Tursky, it didn't matter if there were 15 Bachrim at the table, or just his immediate family. The Zmiras were the same, the food was the same, the Ara was the same, the Divrei Torah was the same. You're not serving for people, you're serving for your family. So I find, it's interesting, I don't know if anyone finds this. I mean, we haven't accompanied so long, because we can't. Sometimes I find it's just the opposite. I find it's a little bit different when there's company, because it's less focused on the family, etc. And when there's no company, you're able to focus more on the family. Everyone has to find the right balance. But Bekitzer, on Shabbos, Hashem comes to our home. That's the guest. Or am I up to? Shabbos represents the Shechina knocking on our door. However, there is a difference between the sanctity, the Kedusha of Shabbos, and the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. The sanctity of the Mikdash, even though the physical temple was destroyed, the Shechina is always there. The Shechina was a physical light and a spiritual experience. It was outside the laws of nature. Everything that happened in the Beis HaMikdash was the Malam and the Teva. The smoke rising from the pyre on the Mizbech never was extinguished. And there was always room when they came to be there was room for everybody. And there was never a fly in the slaughterhouse. It was a miracle, everything that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. It was the Malam in the Teva, transcended the natural order. What is Shabbos? Shabbos demonstrates God's presence on a natural level, which I thought was interesting, because Shabbos reminds us of Yimei Bereishis, Sheishis Yamim Asah Hashem Asah Shemayim Vesaharet, Asah Yom Meshkal Shabbat Ve'erach Be'am Ashvi'i. Shabbos represents Ma'aseh Bereishis, right? Ma'aseh Bereishis represents the natural order of creation. Just as God reveals himself through being lamala min ateva, Beis HaMikdash, through supernatural miracles, we have to know that Shabbos teaches us something else. God reveals himself in the order of nature as well. That's Shabbos. You recall Ma'aseh Bereishis. Ma'aseh Bereishis is creation. Creation is the order of nature. One can experience God through the blue sky and the flowering bush. And this awareness is enhanced on Shabbos because it's the natural order at rest. You remember the Creator who created nature, and then we remember he ceased from creating, but that nature, that natural world, I'm going to do into doubt. I see a lot of leaves on the ground, I still see some green trees, you see the rain, that all reminds us about the Ribbono Shel Olam in nature. So here's another dimension or difference of the Mikdash and Shabbos. They both represent the Ribbono Shel Olam in a very visceral, real sense in our lives. We can't access that on the basis of Mikdash anymore, we can access it in our homes. But another difference, one is sanctuary in space, one is sanctuary in time. Another difference is the sanctuary in space, the Beis HaMikdash represented Lamala Min HaTeva, God controls supernatural, and Shabbos represents God controls Teva. Find Hashem in the natural, you don't only need to experience Hashem in the Lamala Min HaTeva. Every individual must pause to take God's presence into account. Shabbos embodies nature. Mikdash embodies the supernatural. While Hashem gave Moshe the blueprint for the Mishkan, the sages derive that the construction of the Mishkan does not override Shabbos. So which one? I don't want to use the word more important because that's a dangerous phrase. But to our survival, which one is more fundamental? Mikdash or Shabbos? Answer is obvious. Why is the answer obvious? We have survived 2,000 years without the Beis Hamikdash, but we could never have survived without Shabbos. That's a quote from the Sefer. Jewish survival is not bound up with the Mikdash. We see that. It's clear. Go to see the Arch of Titus. The Beis Hamikdash was destroyed 2,000 years ago. It's not a good situation. We daven Ritzei. We daven Shlayim. We daven at Tzemach David Avdecha. We have the Musaf on Shabbos to represent the Musaf Korbanos. However, the reality is that we have survived 2,000 years without the Beis Hamikdash. We could not have survived without Shabbos. Jewish survival is not bound up with Mikdash. While the Mikdash is a lofty and important place, we have to remember Shabbos. Because Shabbos is essential, quote, to Jewish survival. Of course, he concludes and says, we daven for the day that soon we will experience both. So today it's a b'dievet situation. We're not saying we don't want the Beis Hamikdash. We daven for it all the time. But which one is vital and fundamental to our survival? Shabbos. We have survived 2,000 years without the Beis Hamikdash. We wouldn't have survived 1 week without Shabbos Kodesh. So when we prepare properly for Shabbos, we can recreate this environment of Mikdash in our own home. Last paragraph on page 33. Today, the only Beis Hamikdash we have is Shabbos Kodesh. I think I have to sneeze. Excuse me. Today, the only Beis Hamikdash we have is Shabbos Kodesh. On Shabbos, we can find Hashem more than any other day. And that's why we were given Shabbos. On Shabbos, there's no mention of sin. Hashem comes to our home, and we are Tamim, and we are Tahor, and we bask in the glory of the Shechina. And just like Sarah and Rivka, we have our Ner Daluk. Mine doesn't last from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos, but we have the Ner Daluk. And my Chal doesn't last from Erev Shabbos to Erev Shabbos. First of all, it's gone before them, but anyway, it wouldn't be fresh. But we have our Challah. And we have a visit from the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Anan Kasher Al HaOhel. On Shabbos, there's no mention of sin. Hashem relates to us as if to Yishai, the father of David. That's what Rav Shimshon Pinkus writes here. Who is Yishai, the father of David? So, the Gemara says, this is very interesting. It's very interesting experiment to ask a group of people, who are the four people that the Gemara says never sinned? So by default, one of them is going to be Yishai because he just brought it up. The reason it's interesting is because when you look at our leaders, Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, the Ramban on this week's parasha brings down a place where Avram sinned in Perek Beis when he went down to Mitzrayim. In Perek Tazayin, he speaks about Sarah's sin. It's just the lashon of the Ramban. You could look it up on your own. In oppressing Hagar. So when we look at our leaders, our founders, our giants, we see that they were not sin-free. It's hard to say, but it's true. There are four people who were sin-free. Does anyone know who they were? It's a really interesting experiment, as it teaches us something very important. Very nice. One is Binyamin. You are correct. So one is Yishai, the father of David HaMelech. One is Binyamin, son of Yaakov. There's two more. Amram, the father of Moshe. And Kalev ben David. It's the father of David, Yishai, the son of David, Kalev, Amram, and Binyamin. The Gemara says they died because of the advice of the Nachash, meaning they only died because Nachash brought death to the world. Nor other people died because of sin. They only died because man became mortal after the Nachash convinced Isha to eat from the fruit. So it's interesting here, Rav Shimshon Pinkus brings up Yishai, and he says, Hashem relates to us all as if we are sin-free. Yishai is one of the four great tzaddikim who never sinned, and he only died because of the sin of Adam HaRishon. Those are the other three. Okay? Excuse me. So it's a very interesting idea. And we see that even the greatest giants amongst us are not sin-free. My daughter this week, I don't know if anybody noticed my WhatsApp ID picture, had an event at her school. one evening, paint night. So they came home. She said she was going to show me what she painted. I don't know if anyone saw my WhatsApp ID picture this week. I absolutely love it. It says, practice makes progress, not perfect. Practice, think about that in Avodah Hashem. Think of what that means. Practice makes progress, not perfect. We have this ideal that man can attain perfection, whatever perfection means. Perfection is Avodah Hashem. I'm constantly toiling to break my Yetzer Hara and be an Eved Hashem. So I'm on the road to progress, which leads to perfection. But there's really no such thing as blemish-free. It does not exist. Besides for four, think of how many billions of people live since Maaseh Bereishis. How many millions and millions and millions of Jews there have been since the days of Avraham Avinu. And there's a very famous letter of Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, Zatzal the Pachad Yitzchak, to one of his Talmidim who was struggling with this idea that he kept falling in sin. Okay? I'm not quoting from the original source. I'm quoting from a sefer called Great Jewish Letters by Rabbi Moshe Bamberger. And it's in here in English. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, this is on 1963, written in Rosh Chodesh Iyar 1963. Kuttner was nifter in 1980. Okay? So a Talmud writes to him that he is very frustrated, the Talmud, with his lack of progress, if you will, or victory against the Yetzer Hara. Rav Kuttner responds and he says, a failing that many of us experience is that we focus on the lofty level of great people. We focus only on how complete they are. At the same time, we omit mention of their inner struggles. A listener might get the impression that these great people came out of the hand of their creator in the ideal form. Well, they were born perfect, and I can't be perfect, so I'm not even going to try. Everyone is awed at the purity of speech of the Chafetz Chaim. They consider it a miraculous phenomenon. But who knows the battles, the struggles, the obstacles, the slumps, and the regressions that the Chafetz Chaim encountered in his war with the Yetzer Hara. So when a person, the worst part of sin, one of the worst parts of sin is that the Yetzer Hara tells you, see, we're not perfect. You see, your progress got you nowhere. Just give up. And my partner says to this Talmud, you don't know but the battles, struggles, obstacles, slumps, and regressions that the Chafetz Chaim encountered in his own battle with his Yetzer. I don't think of the Chafetz Chaim as even having a Yetzer, but my partner says that's not correct. You should not look at your Gedolim and think that they Yedid Mibetin, Kaddish Mibetin, they came here perfect. The result of this misconception is that when an ambitious young man meets obstacles, falls in slumps, he imagines himself unworthy of being planted in the house of Hashem. No, my dear friend, your soul is rooted not in tranquility of the Yetzer Tov, but rather in the battle of the Yetzer Hara. I'm going to repeat it that. They put this quote in the original Hebrew in which Rav Hiltner wrote it. Aval dalecha, chabibi, dalecha chabibi. Shashorash nishmascha hu lo hashalva shel hayetzer hatov, ela davka milchamto shel yetzer tov. Know, my friend, that the root of your neshama is not the tranquility of your yetzer, but the battle of your yetzer. The battle to overcome, that is the root. You will lose the battle, but ultimately win the war. So in other words, you might lose one battle, but know that in the long term, practice makes progress. You will win the war. My cherished one, he writes to his Talmud, I clasp to you my heart. I whisper in your ear. Your letter tells of slumps and falls and obstacles. And yet I have received a very good letter for you. Your spirit is storming as it aspires to greatness. I beg you, said Rav Hiltner, do not portray for yourself great men as being one with their Yetzer Tov. Picture their greatness in terms of the awesome war with the Yetzer Hara. This letter is very validating. It's worth studying the whole thing. I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm skipping. It's very validating because for us on our level, I don't know about you. Yes, the four tzaddikim are Binyamin ben Yaakov. Binyamin is in the last tribe. We just had the Yotzei Rachel Imenu yesterday. Amram Avi Moshe, Amram the father of Moshe, Yishai, the father of David, which is why we're talking about this, because Rav Shimshon Pinkas mentions David, who Yishai was sin free, and Kalev, the son of David. Those are the four. So I think it's very important, very validating. It's worth studying this whole letter, because I find one of the biggest obstacles with my Yetzer Hara is the negativity he comes along with when he says, you see, you can't do it. You teach a Shmiras HaLashon class every other week for 5.5 years, 6 years. Did you really just say that, Michal Aretz? Seriously? You teach a Tefillah class every other morning in December of 2014. Did you not have Kavanah by Sim Shalom? Who are you? So he comes out and he says, what is this? So Rav Yitzchok Koner says, Aval dalecha chabibi sheshosh nismascha hu lo hashalva shal yitzar tov ala davka milcham tov. It's the battle that your Yetzer Tov wages against the Yetzer Hara. That is the root of your neshama. I thought you were taking candle lighting upon yourself 10 minutes early. Now you're lighting bizman. What happened to you this week? Don't you teach this? The Yetzer Hara comes along and he says, you're a failure. Chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom, chas v'shalom. Practice makes progress. Not perfect. If you're not one of those four people, Amram Avi Moshe, Binyamin, Yishai Avi David, Kalev Ben David, we have to have a realistic aspiration and expectation. It's not, by the way, Haskama to go sin. But really is that the battle is the Avodas Hashem. You mentioned Sadiq Yipol Shavavakam, Rishai Mikal Shabara. The moment you are overcome by your Yetzer Hara, the moment you're overcome by Yetzer Hara, you believe in your folly and naivete that you've lost all hope. I share in your suffering, said Rav Huttner, but this suffering is very much the womb of greatness. The suffering is the womb of greatness. I've seen your face when you analyze halacha. I've seen your face when you listen to lectures. I've seen your face on the seventh night of Pesach. The path towards honor is not a straight one. The road to honor winds like a snake on the highway and like a viper on the path, quoting from Birkas Yaakov. I found it proper to convey these words to you in writing, to afford you the ability to refer to them occasionally. In other words, better than a phone call. Here are these words. Refer to this letter. It is self-understood. For this reason, I have only addressed generalities. You are planted in the house of Hashem. And he signs off, Rav Huttner, sharing in your suffering, with confidence in your victory, with prayers for your success. Yitzchak Kuttner. Sharing in your suffering, with confidence in your victory, with prayers for your success. So what Rav Pinkas writes here is that on Shabbos there's no mention of sin. Hashem relates to us as if to Yishai, the father of David. Yishai was one of the four great tzaddikim who never sinned. He only died because of the advice of the Nachash. Perhaps during Shabbos, we'll just finish two sentences, take us to the top of the next page. Perhaps during Shabbos, we don't feel we're in the Beis Hamikdash. That's what we spoke about. Said the wife to the innkeeper, let Mashiach take the Tartars and the pogroms. I want to hear with the animals. Abach, on us. Perhaps during Shabbos, we don't feel we're in the Beis Hamikdash. Perhaps we spent hundreds of Shabbosos not properly feeling Hashem's presence. But don't let that Yetzer Hara convince you that you can't do it this Shabbos. That's because the darkness of this world is so pervasive. It penetrates the world's very essence. It makes it hard to find Hashem. But like my brother said to me a few years ago, just because something is hard, Michal, doesn't mean I shouldn't try. But as Hashem, we should be zocha to create the sanctuary for Hashem in time, which is Shabbos, to recreate the sense of Beis HaMikdash, until Be'ezros Hashem Mashiach Tzidkenu comes, and then like Rav Salvejuk says, we will have both the sanctuary in space, the Beis HaMikdash, and the sanctuary in time, Shabbos Kodesh. I wish you a life-filled, meaningful, uplifting Shabbos Kodesh. Thank you everybody for joining our shiur today.